Praise the Lord. It's chat time again. Yes, praise the Lord. It is chat time again. And now this week, we're going to continue to discuss current events and scriptures.
Praise the Lord. It's time for our little segment of the week. Did you ever wonder where that phrase came from? And this week's phrase is the Book of Remembrance. And the Book of Remembrance is God's promise that when his judgment comes against those who reject him, he knows who belongs to him, and he will preserve them. And whether you believe it or not, God pays attention to what his people do, and he remembers your good deeds and your words. He makes note of our words of fellowship and support, and he notices when we meditate on his goodness and his mercy and his greatness. And if we have a healthy respect for him. Now you can find that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, and it reads, "Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So all you have to do is just think about Jesus, and it's in the Book of Remembrance. And that's where it came from, the King James Version of the Bible. So I wanted to talk about a couple of current events and then go into questions. Someone sent me this article. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know if anybody ever saw the videos of this, but Kirk Franklin. And I guess a lot of Christians were irritated for the way he was dressed and the way he was performing, gyrating.
I think that was in Brazil, right?
No, Jamaica.
Jamaica. Okay, so he was in a place where I believe they haven't succumbed to such worldly performances when it comes to worshiping the Lord like they have in the United States of America. So when he got up there and put forth that act, those people were saying, "What in the world is this?" They were waiting for gospel music, Christian music.
Well, he sang Stomp, his song, but I didn't even recognize it as Stomp.
Because he can't sing, really. So I'm thinking what they were expecting was something spiritual, something that was going to move, and here this guy's going around jumping on stage. You in the world? I would be so disappointed if I paid my money to see somebody jumping on stage, running back and forth with the microphone, hollering.
Well, this one person said, "I walked out on the first song.
Yeah,
this just didn't sit well with me, how he was behaving on that stage. I thought I was at an Usher concert." And you know what? I saw an Usher perform, and I didn't think he was that bad.
But this is what I was thinking. How did you know what an Usher concert was like? What were you doing at an Usher concert? That's my first
thought. Well, I think maybe that's what she was just saying.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what she
was. Yeah, but he was in Jamaica. I knew it wasn't in the United States. He was somewhere where people still have respect for worship.
Somebody else said he's acting like he had Diddy House.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Diddy Combs.
Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous. That's not praising God. That's not worshiping the Lord. And there's no way I would pay my money just to see a person clown on stage. He tried.
I looked at the couple of videos. He tried.
He tried
to be like the world. But he just doesn't have the moves, I'm telling you. It just is just sickening,
right,
to watch this guy try
to be worldly, as old as he is, jumping around. I mean, you know, I'd expect that of somebody 16, 17, 18.
I was waiting for him to grab his crotch.
He really has done it. I think he has done it. But when he first started out, I have to give Jay Leno credit for this. He was on the Tonight Show. And he performed, I forgot what song it was. And he did what they called the Tootsie Roll. So it was like a grind. And then you know how you come and talk to the people after the performance. Jay Leno, he had the microphone in his hand and he just stood there because he didn't know what to say. Because it wasn't anything that you could consider to be inspiring or spiritual. And he was looking at him so odd that I began to look at him too, because that's the first time I've ever seen Jay Leno just completely voiceless. It's just like he couldn't even comment. He just looked at him like, "What was that I just saw? What did I just witness?"
So, Prophetess Sheena Williams of Word Empowerment International Ministry in Florida made a statement on Facebook to the organizers of the Jamaican Christian concert, and she said, "Whatever you all do, just don't bring him back."
That was actually
terrible.
When he started out, his songs had some spiritual connection, especially that one that said, when you want to know where the saints were, and they said they with their hands up, they got their hands up, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, I could identify with that song. And then he just got further and further away until they were actually scatting in his songs. I'm thinking, why are they doing scat in a gospel song? What are they doing? You know, he just got further and further away. The next thing you know, they're tap dancing.
And then I know we talked about this article before, or talked about that Bible that Trump promoted, the $60.
Okay. They're still talking about it, huh?
My goodness. Here it is, the end of... I mean, there was an evangelical pastor, and he was outraged and railed against Donald Trump's MAGA Bible as disgusting and blasphemous.
How?
In a furious rant. His name is Lauren Livingston.
How can the Word of God be blasphemous?
That's what I thought.
That's
crazy. I just don't understand. It's the King James Version of the Bible. And I know it included copies of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, a handwritten chorus of that famous Greenwood song, "God Bless the USA," and
that's not blasphemous.
No, I didn't think so either. And he's referring it. He devoted several minutes of his sermon at a central church in North Carolina in Charlotte to trashing the ex-president's merchandise. But actually, it's not his merchandise.
Right.
He just endorsed it. He's not getting any money from it. I mean, other than like a licensing for using his name,
right,
or something.
I don't get why this guy's so upset.
He said that we love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro God.
I don't know what in the world he's talking about. Like Paul said, in either way, the church gains. He said because either way, Christ is being preached. Either way, somebody's going to gain because they're going to receive the word of God. I don't get why he's so upset.
This Lauren Livingston is a hardline conservative who railed earlier against LGBTQ thing,
right,
called abortion murder, mocked Christians who were encouraged by the Trump Bible, including the U.S. Constitution.
Something's wrong with that man, because he didn't come out when they were... What was that guy doing? Remember when the guy was on stage? What was he doing to the Bible?
Playing some kind of game.
Right. And
bowling
somebody,
or something?
Yeah, or the one that poured something on it.
Poured that syrup on it, huh?
Yeah, syrup on the Bible. I didn't see him coming out talking. Now that, to me,
is blasphemous.
Right, and desecration. But to put a copy of the Constitution in there, and a song says "God Bless the USA," and they're not saying it's a part of the Bible of Scripture. They're saying it just comes along with the Scriptures when you buy the Bible. I mean, that just
so this.
I don't get this.
So this evangelical pastor said, "We are of the people, by the people, for the people, the people, the people, the people." And he said, beating his palm with his fist, "And you have put it right beside the word of God, which is eternal, unchanging, which says of him, by him, through him, to him, him are all things. And you're going to put those together and
that's
be
a
happy
matter,
about it?
That's
God
a
ma- forbid."
Something's wrong with him. That's a matter of interpretation. They're not saying that the Constitution is equal to the word of God. They're saying that the Constitution is being blessed by the word of God. Which is greater, the altar or the sacrifice that's on the altar Which is greater, that which sanctifies the sacrifice or the sacrifice itself? Is that which sanctifies the sacrifice. So they put that in there to say, God bless the USA. This is our constitution, which is based upon the word of God. The Lord bless it. They didn't say anything about it being equal.
I mean, at that time when they wrote all that, they believed in God we trust.
Right.
Not like today.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the pastor went on to say that he didn't care if his words made those listening mad.
Yeah,
and if they glorified Trump's Bible, they were ignorant of God's will.
It doesn't make a person
angry. If you glory
angry.
In that kind of thing, you don't have a prayer life. If you glory in that kind of mess, political mess, you don't know what the Word of God says.
Well, evidently, he doesn't either. That doesn't, because that makes absolutely no sense. I would much rather for a person to just say, we want the Lord blessing to be upon the Constitution. We want the Lord to bless the United States of
right.
America. Come on. That's so silly.
Well, you heard that Mendisa passed away earlier
I told you about that.
April 18th. Mendisa was a Christian artist.
She started out on the American Idol.
Right.
She was an American Idol contestant.
What happened to her? Passed away from?
They don't know. They didn't. No cause of death has been revealed. But they don't think any foul play. I know that several articles said that she...
Is this the one that did gospel and rhythm and blues? I mean, like a mixture? Or was she strictly gospel?
She was like mostly strictly gospel. She made a lot of, you know, gospel music and worked with a lot of gospel artists.
What songs did she sing? Gospel songs?
Like You're an Overcomer. She worked with Toby Keith. Toby Mac. She worked with Toby Mac. That's, yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah, so
somebody
Toby Mac remembered her as an authentic Christian who wasn't afraid to share her battles with a watching world. I know that, I think I read some articles that indicated that she was always fighting like a weight battle.
Oh, I hope she didn't, you know, like some people have done, they go and get those surgeries. And they end up dying from...
Over the years, she was open about her struggles with mental illness and depression. In a 2022 interview with the Christian Post, she said she began struggling with depression and anxiety after one of her best friends died of breast cancer. I isolated myself. I didn't want to talk about it. I battled with the shame of feeling like I didn't have enough faith or that God was displeased with me. And I have to say that... from experience, I think when someone close to you passes away,
mm-hmm.
you feel like you let them down.
Survivor's guilt.
Hmm?
Survivor's guilt.
Like, I don't know if it's survivor's guilt. Yeah, like, well, I don't know. I suppose you could call it that. I suppose you feel like you could have done something better. You should have reached out more. You should have, could have, would have,
right.
You know.
It's like you forget that life and death is in the hands of God.
No, I don't think I ever forgot.
I mean, because
I don't think I ever forget that.
But then why would a person think then they could have done something better?
I think that's just a part of the grieving process. That's what I really think.
Yeah, it could be, but I'm just thinking that.
You have to be able to just go on.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody.
Right, but after a while.
It's the same.
I know, but then after a while, they realize their life and death.
I think that's part of the grieving process, and as if time passes, I think you understand that. I think you.
Well, I don't know, because my brother died. I was thinking, well, maybe if I could have gotten there sooner. But then you just sort of, something just comes over you where you just realize, I don't control life, I don't control death. The Lord does. Because if they take it too far, they forget that God is in control.
No, but I can identify with it.
I can too.
I can identify with the fact that...
But not to the extent where a person feels so traumatized where they just... They fall into such a deep depression.
Well, I don't know what is so traumatized.
Where you fall into a deep depression, where you fall into a state where you...
You mean like Mendisa?
I don't know if she, yeah, when you get to the place where it's like.
Or you start blaming yourself and then.
There is no release to it. It's like you take it all upon yourself rather than going to the Lord, because it's like you forget that God is God. But I know that a person can do that, because when I felt like when my brother had called, I could have answered sooner. I felt like, well, maybe I just took it for granted and didn't realize just how ill he was.
But you know, she also said that the singer, she said, I isolated myself. I didn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I battled with the shame of feeling like I didn't have enough faith or that God was displeased with me. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like God's displeased with me, mm-hmm. but sometimes when I'm praying for other people and something doesn't turn around, I feel like maybe I don't have enough faith.
I can understand to make it
to such, believe for whatever the person is going through.
Right, but to make it such an inherent part of a person to the point where they completely fall into a state of depression. How the enemy wants a person to be there. Because when you're depressed, it's like you need a breakthrough.
Well, I don't know, but she'll be missed. She was a good singer. Mm-hmm. I think we even sang a couple of her songs on the program. Mm-hmm. But someone sent me this article here, and I wasn't going to talk about it because I thought, so what? You know, it came from South China Morning Post. That's one thing that, you know, kind of irritated me. What, South China?
Yeah, China is anti-Christian. That's
but this story is about 8 of the richest pastors and televangelists of 2024.
Okay.
Their net worths ranked. And it talks about their sizable fortunes and that they mostly prefer not to discuss it.
I don't
blame
them.
Understand.
Yeah,
that.
People just rot.
You know,
don't go asking Rothschild, I want you to discuss your financial status with us. They don't go to the De Beers and say, hey, I want you to discuss your financial status with us. You know, no, they shouldn't. But they don't really know what the people are doing with their wealth. They don't know what programs, they don't know what outreach ministries they have. They don't know.
And it's kind of a irritating article, because it says, whatever the case, you know, their hefty fortunes raise a question whether these famous clergymen are leading or fleecing the flock. Whichever is the case, these wealthy pastors are surely laughing all the way from the church to the bank.
That's just, they remind me of, if they're saints, then I think they are in error. But if they're not saints, they remind me of how Satan stands before the throne and accuses their brethren. You know, accuses the brethren, you know, and accuses the saints and just goes before God and they're doing this and, you know, just presenting them in the worst light that they can possibly present a saint. And I'm thinking, unless they know specifically what they're doing with their wealth, because there is no sin in being wealthy. If they're trying to say they gain their wealth by fleecing the people, then they have to have proof of that. They don't, a lot of them write novels, a lot of them do speaking engagements.
A lot of them have other business interests.
Right.
And
yeah, so to say that they have amassed wealth, there's no sin in that.
So they listed eight of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one person that they listed was Kenneth Copeland. Mm-hmm. Now he's 87 years old.
Yeah.
And his estimated net worth is $300 million. But what people don't know mm-hmm. is that the property that he bought at one time mm-hmm. had oil on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he got his
right.
wealth.
Yeah. Because there is no sin in that. When Joseph claimed the body of Jesus, he was wealthy. He gave him his own tomb. And he was wealthy.
And I don't know, the people that are criticizing and I'm wondering, the people of China, what do they do with their wealth? I mean,
right.
they're very wealthy. How do they, what do they do?
The government takes it.
They,
I mean, they even took the one of the billionaires in China, and they imprisoned him, you know, and then they confiscate all the person's wealth and property and everything. I mean,
but when they confiscated, what did the people that confiscated do with it?
They spent it on themselves.
So are they sitting in gold?
Yes.
On gold chairs?
Yes, and probably toilets too. You know?
Anyway, I guess we're not going to get too much. Into questions, but we'll have to focus on that for next week. But I just want to take this one article here. The United Methodist Church is moving closer to allowing regions to pick their own stance on LGBT marriage ordination for blessing same sex unions.
Ridiculous.
So instead of the rules that they have in what they call the Book of Discipline, they're going to allow different regions to
a house divided against itself cannot stand, and all they're doing is creating a schism, and that's ridiculous. They should just take a stand on the Word of God and let the chips fall where they may.
So I guess over the last few decades, there has been a fierce debate within the United Methodist over whether to change its Book of Discipline rules on LGBT issues like marriage ordination.
Who's ever over the church as a whole, all the groups, all the bishops, whoever the head, whoever the buck stops, they should tell them, no, the Word of God says this, and that's exactly how it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think that leader is doing that. Oh. I think it's a woman.
Figures.
What does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean.
I don't know. It's just like when it comes. We should have these discussions one day regarding the differences in the men and women and the attributes and why the Lord put certain attributes to give to one as opposed to the other, you know, more so.
Well, that's
it does matter.
Take a little bit of research here.
Yes, it will.
So we'll continue next week with our questions.
Okay.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, it ain't God all right. God is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, if you can't rule over your own spirit, what are you like? And the answer is, you're like a city that is broken down without any walls. Mm-hmm. And that comes from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, and it reads, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. This week's food for thought is, what is the heritage of the servants of the Lord? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.